evening, everybody. So great privilege once again to be up here in front of everybody and bringing God's word to him. This message here has kind of sort of been something that I've been playing around with here recently. I've actually came across three topics, and this is one that stuck with me the most. And I know it's been a little while since we've done this type of sermon before, but what we're going to do is we're going to cover three topics today. The primary topic of what we're going to talk about today is getting motivated, and that's starting from becoming a Christian all the way up to turning others into telling how others to become Christians. So what we're going to follow this up is after each topic, we're going to sing a song accordingly to each, and that song is going to kind of sort of go with that topic point. Prior to me getting these songs together, I was told that in order for me to lead singing, I needed to carry a tune in a bucket. These are tuning forks. Joe knows what these are. And they actually pitch off tunes for our radars. So I carried a tune in a bucket, so that means I can lead songs now.
All right, brother.
All right. How to start. So you finally made that decision that you wanted to turn your life over to Christ, and you did the five things, and you're baptized. This at this point in time, it can be a very, very scary moment for you. And not scary as in a fear thing, but scary as in, what do I do? How do I accomplish God's work that he wants me to do?
Amen.
So you've studied a little bit. You're very much a novice to God's word. And you know what you want to do, but you're scared to approach somebody. How do we start by approaching somebody with that? That's something that I've been testing the waters with here recently with new people, is how do you start a conversation with God, or about God rather? Do you just bring it up blunt in front? Do you kind of sort of bring them in and fill the waters for it? Or do you just wait one day for that person to come up and ask you about it? So you say that we're just going to wait for that conversation to come up, but it never comes up. And that person eventually moves on in life, and I'm talking about passing on, and they never had that opportunity. How do you feel about that? Or do you take the B route and just say, well, we're going to try to talk about it and test the waters, see how they feel about it, and then you become offensive, and then it goes to wherever it goes to? Or do you be that blunt force person that just says, look, this is what the word says, I care for you, so this is what we need to do? With that being said, those last two options, we kind of sort of can become weary in that, so we might need to look for the Bible for motivation. So where we're going to start our chapter off, or our verses off this morning, will be Matthew 5, 3 through 12. And I'll be scrolling through a couple of these, so there should be sufficient time for everybody to turn and read along with me, reference these verses as well, too. And it says, blessed those that are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven will be theirs. Blessed those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed those who are meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed those who hunger for righteousness, for they will be fulfilled. Blessed are those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed those that are pure in heart, for God will see. Blessed those that are peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are you when the people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for the same will be persecuted as the prophets were before you. That gives a strong motivation to know that you are not and will not be the first and only person to start this journey. When I read this passage, it's a great reassurance to know that though I am meek, I am humble and I'm lowly, that God is still the great Almighty, and he will tell me what needs to be said, what needs to be done in order to interact with that person. So instead of selecting from those three things I said earlier, waiting to see if the word is going to come up, beating around the bush about it, or being directly to it, God will tell you how to approach that person. Then it might not be either one of those three conversations that happens. It might be, for example, something that you're going through in life, for where I'll speak from personal experience, I always do. I was working this scene one day. It was a very bad scene. A couple people lost their lives, and somebody said, you know, I got to get in church, is what they said. They said that this one scene shook them enough where they had to get in church. Never said a word to this person about that, but that was my way in for that. Then I said, well, this is what we do. This is where we go to. And I invited him to that. So don't be blinded to the opportunities that God gives us. Take those and work with them. Also, keep your faith and know that your work is for God and not for man. Because as we take this journey, there's going to be many things that come along our way that's going to prevent us from doing this, especially if you're new into the word. You're not going to be sure where to turn to or where to go to, but as long as you understand that you're doing this work for God, man will never prevail over you. He will see your good deeds and help you out with that. One verse that we come across a lot as being a new Christian here is our work in our faiths. So let's go and turn to James 2 and read 18 through 24. It's James 2, 18 through 24. And it says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and tremble. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was it not your father Abraham considered righteous for that he did what he offered when he offered his son Isaac at the altar? Do you see that his faith and actions were working together? And his faith was made completed by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled saying, Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteous. And he was called God's friend. You see that the person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. So just hitting back on this again, if you are a Christian versus being a Christian, that was a message that was brought by us, Andy, last week it was, your actions should prove your Christianity, not just by you saying or doing what you feel is the right thing for Christians to live a Christian life behind closed doors. That's going to hit back to our first three topics that we made here. You know, how do I present the word to God? If your actions show the word of God, it's going to be a lot easier to give the word of God than just having to scramble for words to say in order to get God's message across. So with that first point being covered, we're going to turn to Psalm 749 and sing Soldier Christ Arise.
I think there might be a slight mistype up there. It's actually 745.
Sorry, 745.
745. And we'll sing all five verses. Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Strong in the strength which God supplies. Strong in the strength which God supplies through his beloved Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in his mighty power. Who in the strength of Jesus trusts. In the strength of Jesus, trust is more than conqueror. Stand then in his great might, and all his strength endure. But take to arm you for the fight. But take to arm you for the fight, the panoply of God. Leave no unguarded place, no weakness of the soul. Take every virtue, take every virtue, every grace. Take every virtue, every grace, and fortify the whole. That having all Christ alone and stand entire at last.
So now we have been encouraged. We're uplifted. Soldiers of Christ have risen. So now you have gotten over the first couple years of being a Christian. You're strong and you're motivated and you're pressing on. By now, you should have came across people that don't believe, people that do believe, people that believe but have asterisks on their religion, denominational churches, wherever that domination might be. We're not going to go into any specifics for that. And you're not sure if what you're doing is actually working because you know that you've talked with this individual or individuals, them or themselves, and you said this and you know that it's working, but you're not seeing it working, so you're doubting yourself. So how do we go for confidence to keep ourselves uplifted? 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 8. And it says, what, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you can believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted a seed, Apollos water it, and God maketh grow. So neither one of you who plants, nor the one who's watering is anything, but only God is the one who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters has one purpose, and they each will be rewarded according to their own labor. This is motivating because it's a thing that you can take for yourself and understand that, A, first of all, God is in control of all things, but you do not have to worry about the entire process of it all. Your simple interaction with that one person might get the thing going inside of them to get them going on the correct path. We have a lot of friends or family that we might know or that we might commute or talk with for where we don't live in the same area. For example, I have family at home. I'm very strong, and when we go home, me and my mom get into a lot of Bible conversations. Let's say that, a lot of Bible conversations. So there's a lot of things that I say in front of her, amongst my sisters and amongst my children, as well as my aunts and uncles, I mean my nieces and nephews, that might be something that they hear and they question. But we're 5 hours away, so I don't know how that seed is going. But as long as I know that I'm doing the right thing, again, like we said earlier, by my actions, and that might be take something that sticks in their head, and they might say, well, I wonder what he meant by that. Thus, they might look into it, then they grow, and if they haven't made that decision, I'm not taking praise or a pat on the back for it at all, but then God shows the growth and turns that person into whatever that he thinks that needs to be done for them. So also, like we mentioned earlier, while on this group, on this path that we're taking, we're going to come across a lot of obstacles, especially when we start talking to others that already are strong in Christ and have whatever their belief is. It is extremely difficult to ultimately tell somebody that they're wrong in what they're doing, because this might have been something for where they have grown up with and that this is they known from the beginning and this is the only thing that they do know. So how do we keep motivation for that and let alone not end up converting from what we know is correct, but to let them know what they're doing is incorrect and show them the correct way? Let's turn to Galatians 1, and we'll read 6 through 10 for that. Galatians 1, 6 through 10. And it says, I am astonished that you so quickly deserting the one who called you to the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach another gospel than the one that we preach to you, let him be accursed underneath God. So what we have here is knowing that when we are proclaiming God's word, that there are other versions out there, as you see that is written here, but we must remain mindful that God's word is the only word. There is no such thing as the Church of the John the Baptist, the Baptist, the South Lake Memorial Revolutionary Methodist, whatever church out there. They got a lot of names on them nowadays. And by the way, those are not real churches. I made those up. So if you Google that, you might not find it. If you do, let me know. But that just goes to show that even if we get word that we are not familiar with, first of all, we need to research that for ourselves. Don't take anything that I say especially or anyone else up here for face value. You need to search the scriptures yourself to confirm what we are saying is true. But also, do not convert to what others may say. Like I said, me and my mother, we get into a lot of conversations about the Bible, and there's a lot of things that she does say to me where I have to go back and I have to check for myself to make sure that I'm correcting what I'm saying and I'm presenting to her. So along this journey, realize that this is not a simple one-step process with this person. Although we know that there's three phases of it all, one plants, one water, and God gives the growth, that you should still check on that person and make sure that they're still on the correct pathway for that. So with that point being concluded, we're going to turn to 589, and we're going to sing "The Battle Belongs to the Lord."
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord.
So we're growing and we're developing. And we're evolving as we go. Soldiers of Christ arise. That's our calling. Giving all strength and credit to God, the battle belongs to the Lord. And then finally, it is well with my soul. So you have not completed, because our journey is always ongoing, even unto death. A great member that we had here a couple years ago, Skip Cole, it was great joy to know that he was at the Oaks and he's still in there singing loud and trying to get as many as he can before his time came. And Lord, hope that there were seeds that were planted in there that he might not have seen grow and develop, that there's something that did come out of that. And I'm sure that there was. But now we've gotten to the point for where we're mature enough and we're going on with God's word. So we've developed from young babes to actually partaking and eating of the meat of the word. Now we have the youth coming up. If y'all don't know, I have a little child back there. I got two back there, Alexander and Aaron. So I got to teach them one day on how to get the starting point for where it all started is all to get motivated, to get included into God. My little man came up here, and we're getting everything ready. I'm getting my my icebreaker ready as well, too. And he says, "Daddy, I won't be baptized." And I looked at him. I said, "Why you won't get baptized for?" And he's like, "So I can eat a lot of food." I was like, "My man, totally off par with that." But That's how we start the introduction for talking to people, and, you know, that's our icebreaker for everybody. Again, do not be ignorant to the hints that God gives us out here. We have been on that conversation for quite some time now between my family and us about being baptized and the steps for all that. So I ask, as a sidebar here, is please pray for me and my family in that situation, as we got two young kids that are growing up in God's word and are starting to ask questions, and that we have the proper guidance and intellect to answer their questions when that time comes. But back on to subject. Now we are believers of the word. We've planted our seeds, and now we've got to get a new generation going as well, too. As you can tell by this last point here, it's an endless cycle that we're always going to be doing. There's no time frame on how long this takes to do anything. So please, when you hear this message, don't feel that if you've not accomplished these goals yet, that you're behind the eight ball by no means. Again, God will work in us as he needs, and he will send us to where we need to go. For this first part, let's turn to 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. For it says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow in your salvation. Now that you have tasted it, that the Lord is good. That the Lord is good. So we have gone from being shy and humble and standing up here in front of the congregation and announcing our faith, to finally saying, I understand that the Lord is good. Great words that are said there. So now we have got to continue on, because we know the Lord is good and he will be with us through everything. And we must spread his gospel. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, go out into the world and preach the gospel of his creation. Simple. Black and white words to it. No ifs, ands, or buts around that. And at that time, when we actually understand and we have confidence in doing that, we're getting motivated once again. Because when you talk to other people about God and his work, to me at least, it's a great joy. I smile a lot. There's certain people at work I've started talking with as well, too. And it's interesting to see how that conversation goes. There's one person that I'm talking to in particular about the church that she goes to, and we talked about tithing. I was excited to talk to her about it because, again, this conversation just came out of nowhere, so I took advantage of that. And I made the topic of, you know, well, the Old Testament, we tithe, is 10%, and it's 10% of everything that you own, not just 10% of your financial gain. So I'm going on my whole tangent about that. And then I said, you know, and then in Corinthians, it talks about, you know, you should give what you can, put the money to the side, and that's the way we're supposed to give now. And then she turns around and says, well, you know, sometimes I struggle giving my 10% when I tithe. And I kind of sort of said, well, is this a foot in the mouth? Or is this me telling you, is this a revelation to you that, you know, we no longer follow the Old Testament and that we go by the new now? You don't know. That, again, we're planting seeds. Whatever goes with that is God's will, and I just hope that I'm in that situation enough, long enough to have her understand that we do things differently now because Jesus came. And then as we continue on with this journey, decisions must be made amongst yourselves. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible and favorite characters, and of them, period, is Joshua. And it's Joshua 24, verse 15. And as for me and my household, we will worship the Lord. Very, very powerful statement to be said about that. Because when I see that situation going on with Joshua and everybody around him, I'm not going to say it's a hostile situation and there's much chaos. And at least in Joshua's eyes, I'm seeing this here. Because he says, do what you wish, do what you wish. But as far as it is, there's a line in the sand. This is what me and my family are going to do. And I take a lot of strength from that and knowing that as long as I stand with God through the beginning to the end, that he will guide me and he will keep me and my family. Our faith is strong and is unyielding. And we know that our spiritual foundation cannot be corrupted. Luke 6, 48 and 49. And it says, they're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid his foundations on a rock. And when the flood came, the torrent struck that house and it could not shake it because it was well built. That is our faith. That is Jesus underneath us. You read a couple verses back, it talks about the guy that put his house on the sand. And when the storms came, his house went tumbling over. We have the ultimate backup in Jesus and in God. Romans 8:31. Let's read that over real fast. Romans 8:31. Then what shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. Guys, it's not that hard of a message. We come and we preach this message all the time. But when you get to that level where you're able and you can, let's say this better, and you're able to go out there and you're able to preach this word to others and convert them over and then teach them how to convert them over, God will be with you, for we can do all things through him. Amen. Final scripture that we'll take a look over will be Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God is real. There's no questions about that. And these simple steps here as a Christian will just lead to better understanding that God is with you. All you have to do is make that decision that you want God to be with you. And your journey will not only be fruitful, but it will also be great as well. For those that are here tonight that have not made that decision to put God on, look at what we talked about here. Look at all the great things that he can do for you. Do not wait another day to go by and say that, God, I will put you on for tomorrow. I'll put you on that little memo list for tomorrow's not promised to you. Guys, I work a lot. I work my job that I work. There's a lot of people that don't make it to tomorrow, and I've seen that. So don't be that person that doesn't make it to tomorrow to say, well, I'm going to decide to put God on. If you have decided to put God on and you're struggling within your Christian faith, please, I implore you, come to one of us, the elders of the church or a man of the church or whomever you feel comfortable in the church and tell them what your issue is, because we will love to try to get you back on track. For all those that are, and we don't talk about y'all too much, but for all y'all that are on the correct path, stay encouraged. Stay motivated. Stick with it. There are a few verses here. If you would like to have them, I'd be more than happy to give them to you when we're done. But stay motivated on your pathway. And just know that it's your works that gets God's word across and not only your faith. Let us stand and sing the song of invitation at this time.